Hello, guys. Welcome to the first in a series of quick podcasts I'm going to release. I'm hoping to do one a week, at least for the next 8 weeks. I have ideas for eight, maybe nine episodes, and I am definitely up for continuing doing them. So if you have a question or a topic that you'd like, that you think would be a good topic, then send it to me and I'll see if I can do a little podcast on it. So let me give you the aims of this podcast series. So I want it to be quick and informative. I'm going to be going into detail on some smaller topics which I think deserve their time in the sun, which I think this sort of 10 to 15 minute podcast is really great for, and hopefully to give you a different perspective maybe to the one you've read before. What I would love to have in the future is a massive bank of these quick podcasts that guys can sort of dig their teeth into. Like when I was starting doing Day Game, I loved all those Tom Torero videos. But just a heads up, this is for intermediates, maybe let's say lower intermediates at a push and above, not for beginners. So if you're a beginner, go ahead, listen to it. But please keep that in mind as you're listening. And another thing with these podcasts is that I really want them to be focused. That's why I said 10 to 15 minutes long. It's not going to have some long upsells at the beginning. It's going to have a very quick upsell. And I'm not going to just give you a 10-minute update of where I am and where I'm doing coaching, followed by 15 minutes of stretched content. Okay, so let's jump into those quick upsells. Everything is available via my website, thomascrownpoa.com. You'll find there I sell my memoir for my first year in game, texting guide, an intermediate textbook, and a best of Thomas Crown posts. You can sign up for my Patreon, where I have infields with analysis and exclusive Q&As. And you can also hire me for coaching by call or infill coaching. Again, that's all available on thomascrownpoa.com. And you can follow me on X as well, at Crown Day Game. All right, so with those out of the way, let's jump in. Today's topic is, how many approaches do you need to do to get laid? So I want you to think about that. Ask yourself this question. How many approaches do you specifically need to do to get laid? Okay, you have the number in your head, roughly maybe, or maybe within say 20 or 30 approaches. What do you think? You know, put it in your head. Okay, now think to yourself, all right, how many approaches does a beginner, an intermediate, an advanced eye need to get laid? Okay, so think, what do you think it's going to be for each one? Okay, good, so we've got our numbers in our head. Now I want to tell you that actually the answer is exactly the same for everyone, no matter which level, and the answer is one approach. You only need one approach to get laid. Now, of course, I'm kind of playing with the question a bit here. I understand that probably you would have thought to yourself, what's the average number of approaches I need to do? You know, am I roughly a 50 to 1, 100 to 1, 150 to 1, 200 to 1 kind of guy? And maybe the same for the beginner, intermediate, advanced levels. But the key is that you don't need to do 50 sets to get laid. You only need to meet that one girl who's going to sleep with you to get laid. You know, that's why they call it the set of glory. And I'm going to go on to talk about why I think it's important to have this mindset. But before moving on, like, of course, look, we're never going to have a one-to-one approach to lay ratio. You know, humans are never going to be perfect predictors of what's going to happen. And even if you walked around and only approached on the absolute strongest IOIs, you're still not going to be any better than, I think, 5-10 to 1, maybe. I'm not sure about that, but it's you know, like, you can never tell if a girl has a boyfriend, for example. You can never tell. The girl might be on a period, just in a bad mood, or you remind her of something from her past and she's like, no, I don't like you, for any reason. So of course you're not going to have one-to-one, but the point is about your you know, you only do that one set to get laid. We'll come back to this at the very end. But the key is to remember, we're out on the streets looking for sex, not sets. So as you're going around, you're not telling yourself, oh, I need to do 10 sets today. Instead, you're telling yourself, you know, I hope that I meet, I'm going to put the good work in, of course, but I hope that I meet that set of glory today. Okay, so what can we say about approach delay ratio? Really, the ratio itself, all it tells you, if it goes from 100 to 1 to 50 to 1, really it only tells you you got rejected less. So maybe that's one thing to also have in your mind, is that your approach delay, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's down to the experience that you get from this. However, I think there are strict benefits from having a lower approach delay, is that you can stop approaching those no goals. So what is a no goal from what we can see on the surface? To me, it's going to be things like where there's an archetype mismatch. So if I do really badly with a certain kind of girl, like right now it's very popular for girls to wear high-waisted flared jeans with a crop top and big sunglasses, and those girls are very straight, status driven. I don't do very well with those. Like another example could be the sort of like Essex girls, you know, or like fake eyelashes, big lip filler, like highly sexualized kind of girl. I don't do very well with them. So the first thing I'd say is trying to identify which archetype do you not do that well with, and only approaching that kind of girl if you get either an IOI or you get some sort of approach signal. Maybe she looks really horny, she's walking really slowly, looking up and around, she's sort of interested in adventure, or if you just get this kind of DNA tug spidey sense thing, or if she's especially beautiful and you're like, wow, I just have to approach her. So for example, in London, it's so rare that you see a girl who has like true solid 8 levels of beauty that even if I think I have an archetype mismatch, I'd still approach her. So eliminating a kind of no girls in that way. Another one would be if you see a girl just rushing around, you know, got a face in her phone, zooming from A to B, she doesn't look like she's talking to anyone. Now the question is, this is why I'm saying it's good to reduce the approach delay, because typically if you stop approaching those girls who are going to give you maybe bad reactions, you can save that good vibe and energy for sets where you'll get a good reaction. Another good thing is that it will help to turn day game into this like near pure positive experience. So when I go out in the streets, I don't think to myself, oh, I'm going to have to suffer through the blowouts today to reach the set of glory. Instead, I'm walking around just looking for the set of glory. That's what I was saying. Look for sex, not sets. So moving on. So that's one reason why getting rejected less, having a better approach delay, is a good thing. And if anything, the main driver, to begin with, you know, what will happen is the main driver of an improved approach delay ratio is simply approaching the no goals less. Like the difference between the approach delay of like a guy who's 100 to 1 and the guy who's 50 to 1 is probably that he just doesn't approach the girls who he knows he doesn't do very well with unless he gets some kind of signal beforehand. So moving on is to do with how you see game. A lot of guys talk about game as like a sales funnel, because guys love comparing game to sales. Everything about game must be sales. Now, I don't see game as a funnel. I see it more like a sieve or a colander, because you don't squeeze your leads from one stage to the next, because you don't act blindly. Like, you can see from the very start if a girl is interested in you or not. I mean, game can look like a funnel to a beginner because you're blindly acting. You're sort of doing the magic PUA dance and just seeing what comes out the other side. It seems like a black box. Whereas once you're more experienced, then that black box becomes a lot more transparent. You can kind of see what's going on. And so rather than it being a squeezing process from one stage to the next, it's a bit like that girl is going to be filtered out at a different level. For example, let's say I said you approach a girl who doesn't have a good archetype match to you. That will likely filter her out. She will be sieved out. It's like a particle that's too big to pass through the sieve. Or you go in and you're clearly that kind of like R-selected status, experience-driven guy. And she is a K-selected status-driven girl. So she's looking for a good husband or a good boyfriend who has a solid job, who dresses in a respectable way, who acts in a respectable way in polite society, and you're just not that kind of guy. And she doesn't have any kind of specific typing that means she would really like you. So that's, there we go. That's another reason why a girl gets caught by the sieve. And you know what? When you talk to experienced day gamers, they'll tell you that at least 19 out of 20 of their dates are straightforward. You know, they go and talk to the girl, she stops, they exchange, they have conversation, they exchange numbers, she comes, they text, she comes out on a date. Just because getting her out on a date was straightforward, you know, it doesn't mean you're definitely going to sleep with her, but she's seen you up and down, she's experienced your vibe and your game and your dominance and manliness and everything, and thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to give this guy a chance. You know, if a girl is dragging her feet and you're finding it really hard to get her out, like, it's likely that she doesn't want to go out. In the same way that I'm sure you yourself have either had cases where you've met someone, man or woman, and you don't really want to, you know, like, it's a friend if it's a guy, or it's like a girl, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to meet them, or I'm only going to meet this girl if she makes it really easy for me to meet her. So you're kind of dragging your feet in that way. And that sensation of trying to get blood from a stone, it means you're doing the game as a battle thing rather than game as a dance. You know, from literally within the first 30 seconds, the girl should feel that you're that player guy who's going to try and pick her up. You know, it shouldn't feel like you're having, like, game is not about passing a bunch of shit tests and frame controlling her in this battle of the sexes. It's a dance. And it should be, like I said, you should make it more like a near positive, near pure positive experience. Okay. And going on from this is that you can talk to guys who are more experienced with the game, and they will say things like, I don't really feel like I use game anymore. But they are. It's just because they're internalizing what they've done. So it's less of what they do and it's more of who they are. So, for example, they don't think about, oh, am I teasing or challenging? They're just funny. Or they don't think about needing verbal escalation to set a man-to-woman vibe. It just comes about because of their eye contact. And so, as you become more experienced with game, you should understand, do inner game work, understand who you really are, and then you will be able to present that way quicker at the start of the set, and it will feel like things are way easier because you're not giving out all these like mixed signals. You're actually quite a authentic guy, as people like, authenticity is a good thing. And the girl can sense that from the start, and she's like, yeah, I don't feel like he's trying to trick me in any way. He doesn't seem to be trying to pull the wool over my eyes in any way. Yeah, I'll go on a date with him. I'll see what he's like. Doesn't mean you'll sleep with her. Of course, there are extra levels of that filter. Like, for example, the speed of escalation. Maybe she doesn't want to have sex with you on the first or second date. Maybe she won't. Maybe she would, for sure. But it would have to be on the fifth date. And you're just not willing to go that far. So there you go. There's another filter in the sieve, which removes her particle from coming into the cup at the end. Okay, so what does this all do to your day game experience? You know, if you're looking for that, if you're looking for sex and not sets. So it turns the whole thing into more of a heart rate monitor experience than this slow build. So you're not going out thinking, oh, I've got to do 10 sets, 10 sets, 10 sets in three sessions this week to get my numbers, which equals this many dates, and a lay maybe. Instead, it's like you're walking around and boom, you find that girl who you know is going to turn into a date, and you think, yeah, I'm quite sure that things are going to go well here. If anything, this go works backwards, and the more lays you have like this when it comes from who you are, because you've done the hard work of internalizing those game lessons of game, you will start to feel way more confident on the street, and in set you'll be like, yeah, I think I'm gonna bang this girl. Another thing is that it makes day game more addictive, because you aren't in that slow process, you're not thinking, oh, I've got to do this work for something in the future. Instead, you're thinking to yourself, oh, that set of glory might just be around the next corner. So it keeps you on the street. Now, this is why I think overall, you're better off you're better off to spending time on the street, being in the mix than the sets that you do. You know, there's this concept in bodybuilding of junk volume. Like, once you've done more than however many sets for a body part in one session, it's just junk volume. It's not helping you build any more muscle. Similar to day game, it's like it doesn't really matter how many sets you do on those girls where there's a 1 in a million chance that it's going to go somewhere, you know, or even 1 in a thousand. You know, I would rather have I'd rather have 10 sets with the girls who I think it's like I have a clue that it's going to go somewhere than 1,000 with the girls where it's like that archetype mismatch or she's racing somewhere. Okay, so to finalize, we're after sex, not sets. I hope you enjoyed that, And that is podcast one of this quick podcast series done.